I think the blessing of our children is my favorite part of the worship service. And not for the same reason as it is for you parents out there. It's such a gift to see our young people, to pray over them, to bless them. And we don't send them out. We send them to where they can meet with Christ on their level. And so thank you, Jim, for your prayer and for your appeal. For you here, all of us have an opportunity to invest in these young people. So please take advantage of that if you feel the Lord leading you. I also want to thank Jeff. Thank you for that report. It's always inspiring and refreshing to hear how the Gideons are at work, how God is using that ministry to reach the lost. And that is what we care about as well. And so thank you for that. We have some Gideons, I think, in our congregation, folks who have been connected to that ministry for many years. And so we care very much about the work that is being done there. So this is our second week of our sermon series on connecting. And this is that theme that we're going to be looking at for the rest of November as we're finding ourselves hurtling towards Advent. It's hard to believe that we're even using those words right now. It almost seems out of place to say Advent and Christmas and thinking about the new year in 2018. It's coming quickly. It's going to be here before you know it. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is not even 2 weeks away from now. So there's lots coming up in the life of our church, and we want the Lord to guide us in the way he would have us to go. We want his word, his one word. We want his one will for us. And so we're going to be a faithful people who walk in his will and see the things that he's going to do in our midst. So with that in mind, you see in your bulletins that I'm going to be preaching from Acts chapter 20 this morning. So go ahead and turn there if you haven't already. And I just want to say, for those of you who have been on coming to Bible study on Wednesday nights, this will be a little familiar to you because it wasn't that long ago we were in chapter 20. Speaking of Bible study, by the way, last Wednesday we finished our study of Acts. It took us almost 15 months, but we made it through. Jesus didn't come back before we finished like I thought he was going to, but we finished, and as we look at our calendar for the rest of the year, there are no more Wednesdays for Bible study. So if you come out on a Wednesday night expecting a Bible study between now and January, there's not going to be one, okay? However, on the 6th, we're having a party, a Christmas party. So please, if you want to come to that, you are invited. I'd love to see a big crowd out for our Bible study party. We're going to have some finger foods and a lot of fun, fellowship, all those Fs that we love, right? The food, fun, and fellowship. So please come out on the 6th for that. Okay, so Acts chapter 20. What's going on here? So what we find here in this chapter is the Apostle Paul, he's winding down his third and final missionary journey. So for some 8 or 10 chapters or so, we've been following Paul, the stories of Paul, and he's been going out in these journeys led by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the unevangelized. And here we find him in chapter 20 on his final leg of his journey, on his final missionary journey, his final stretch of his trip. Where he's gone into Asia, that where Ephesus is, he's crossed over into Macedonia and down into Achaia, and he's traveled back the way he came, and he's back in Asia again. He's getting ready to head to Jerusalem. He's on his final leg of his journey. He's been spending 3 years ministering, actually 5 years, ministering and journeying throughout these regions. And he's been collecting for the poor in Jerusalem. So he's rounded up the offering, he's taking it back, and here we find him in chapter 20. He's meeting with the leaders in the church of Ephesus one last time. So this is his farewell message to these pastors and church leaders in that region. And what's interesting about this in chapter 20 is it's the only prolonged discourse in the entire book of Acts that is addressed to Christians. So everywhere else in Acts, when you see a long sermon or a long speech or a long discourse of some kind, it's always directed to the unchurched, the unevangelized, the unreached. Whether it's in among the Jews or among the Gentiles. And what's interesting about the timing of this and the content of this farewell discourse is it feels a lot like Jesus' own final speech to his disciples in the upper room. Indeed, Luke has been writing his narrative and crafting his letter in such a way as to draw parallels for us, the reader, between the journey of Paul and the journey of Jesus as they both headed to Jerusalem in their final days. It's fascinating to witness that this, it's almost as if the script has been written for Paul to follow exactly in his master's footsteps. And that fits right in line with the general theme of Acts that we laid out last Sunday. that the book of Acts is not Luke's second volume where he's turned from the ministry of Jesus and now talking about the ministry of his apostles. No, Acts is about the second phase of Jesus' ministry in and through his apostles. It's not the Acts of the apostles, it's the Acts of Christ through his apostles. And to reinforce that point, Luke writes his narrative to make the point. Look how Jesus went to Jerusalem, all the things that led to those events, and now look at Paul, following in his master's footsteps. And just as Jesus had an intimate time of sharing his sort of last thoughts with those who would take his mission and go, Paul is doing the same thing for the leaders here in Ephesus, just south of Ephesus. He's giving them his final words. So if we're going to pay close attention to the upper room discourse, as we should, we want to pay close attention to Paul's final message here in Acts chapter 20. So let's take a look there. We're going to read from about verse 18 down to verse 38. When they arrived, he declared, "You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault, for I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you, night and day, and my many tears for you. And now, I entrust you to God in the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. I have neither coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them, and they all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. And they were sad, most of all, because he had said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. This is a bittersweet moment for Paul and his friends that he's come to know and love in this area of the ancient world. He's concluding his 3-some years there in Ephesus in that region. And during that time, he says, I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And as you heard, as I read, he went on to talk about all the different aspects of how God has led him to preach the whole gospel plan of salvation, all that is profitable to them, all the things that God had for him to preach to them, and with a laser-like focus. Paul didn't pick and choose the things he wanted to preach and the things that he didn't want to preach. He didn't give them just a little bit of the truth of the gospel. He gave them all of the truth of the gospel. He withheld nothing from them. In fact, it took years for Paul to preach all the things that God had him to preach. Years to invest in the lives of the people of that region. To see the work of the Lord in all its fullness be represented in and through him and take place in their lives. Paul's was not some quick, slick, superficial come to Jesus series of speeches. Instead, it was a regular, intentional, deliberate, personal, and thorough witness to all of God's work available to us in Christ. And so for Paul, this idea of connecting, just as it should be for us, means not just teaching, but embodying the fullness of the gospel in all of its totality, in all, every aspect of our lives. And beyond that, it's going beneath the surface in our relationships with those that we would see the gospel touch and reach. Our investment is not to be at the surface level. It's to dig deep into people's lives, to let God speak through us the fullness of his truth, all of us, in all of it, and all of us for all of them. As Pastor C.D. has said countless times, to be all in for the sake of the gospel. That God's work would prevail, that his kingdom would be established through our witness and through our investment into others. Now, equally as important to Paul is this idea of not just going deep with people, but reaching as many people as possible. He wasn't going to stop in his efforts until all of the city, all of the region had heard about Christ. Paul's effort was not some partial effort just to reach a few. It was a total effort to reach all. His connecting with people didn't just go deep. His connecting with people went wide. And so he says, I preach to the Jews and the Gentiles. I preach to those who were from the city, and I preach to those who weren't from the city. I preach to those who were near and those who were far, the aliens, the residents. I preached and witnessed to not just to some select group that I was comfortable around or the ones that I identified with. He preached to every race. He preached to every color. He preached to every religion, every background. He was not going to stop until all heard the gospel. You could say that he preached everything he could about God to everyone that he could reach. I find it's interesting when you turn to Romans and you see this letter that he wrote from about this time to the church in Rome. In chapter 1, he says, I've longed for years to come to Rome to preach the gospel to you, that I might be of some gift or benefit to you, and that you mutually might be some gift or benefit to me. It was on Paul's radar for years to go to the center of the Roman Empire and preach the gospel. So why didn't he go? Well, according to Paul, he says, I didn't go there because basically I wanted to go places where the gospel hadn't been preached before. Someone else took the gospel to Rome. The church was established there, not by Paul, God used someone else to do that work. And so as a result of that, Paul said, I haven't come to you yet. I've had work to do here. My focus has been on going those places where there hasn't been the gospel proclaimed. And yet, in chapter 15, at the end of his letter, he says, now it's time for me to come to you. Because there's nowhere left to preach. Paul's work in this region didn't stop until everyone heard the gospel. And so the fruit of Paul's labor and the fruit of Paul's connecting deep and wide with as many people as he can is found in Acts chapter 19, where Luke says that Paul preached and he taught until people throughout the entire province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. A whole region, a whole province, not just one city or some group within the city or some subset of the culture. Every person heard the name of Jesus because of his deep and wide connection, empowered by the Holy Spirit, being thorough in his witness, being thorough in his coverage. And through his one faithful, consistent, personal, spirit-filled witness, the whole region heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in Paul, we see here, as he's addressing the leaders of the church he's leaving behind, the long game of connecting. Taking time to build relationships. Taking time to go beneath the surface in people's lives. Taking time not to just preach some shallow, surface letter, superficial, come to Jesus kind of thing, but to go deep in our message, deep in our relationships, to go deep day after day investing, night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year, never stopping until the work of God is complete. We think when we engage in some thing that we go out to do for God, and when it's done, we pat ourselves on the back and we say the work is done. No, usually the work has just begun. Because the type of connection that God wants to create amongst ourselves, but with the world, for his sake and for his glory, takes time. It takes investment, intentionality, sacrifice. And you know, we don't have to go very far for that to begin. You don't have to travel very far out of our doors to find the lost who need to know about Jesus. We don't have to go to the ends of the earth to start to fulfill the Great Commission. It starts right here on Rabbit's Corner. And then on to Halls Creek. And then all the way to Elizabeth City. and then all the way to Hereford, and then to the ends of the earth. That is windfall. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Your coverage will be wide as your relationships are deep. God wants to work through us just as he worked through the apostle, by being thorough in our relationships, thorough in our teaching of the gospel, thorough of our embodiment of all that God wants to do in the life of a human person, and thorough in our coverage, reaching as many people as we can for his sake. And lastly, Paul was thorough in his methods. There was no one-size-fits-all to Paul's plan of evangelism. You see, Paul, as you're reading through Acts, he's preaching in the synagogue. So he's in the religious place. Next, you see him in the marketplace. He's preaching publicly to the people just going to buy a loaf of bread. You even see him in the lecture hall. He's in the university. For 2 years, he taught in the university, 6 days a week. Imagine the investment of pouring his life. I think I did the math. 3,000-some days or hours or something. I forget what I calculated. But just this investment, this over and over and over, constantly being there, pouring himself out, arguing for the gospel, sharing the witness that Christ has given him to share with the world, day after day, night after night, in people's homes. So he's in the religious sphere. He's in the secular sphere. He's in the university, which is quite secular, by the way, these days. He's in the privacy of people's homes. He's sharing all the fullness of God with all the people he can in every way possible. And when the gospel is reasonably, systematically, and thoroughly proclaimed in every venue like that, it will impact a region. So often, our evangelism efforts fail for different reasons. Perhaps the most immediate reason is that it tends to be, here's a big word, prepare yourself for the big word, ecclesiocentric. Ecclesiocentric. Ecclesia means church, and you know what centric means. It's this idea that if we just have a really great thing here, if we just have the right preacher, if we just have the right music minister, if we just play the right kind of music and have the right kinds of kids programs, and if we have this, and this, the unchurched masses will just come in droves. Ecclesiocentric evangelism. Another way our evangelism seems to fall short is it's emotionalistic. It's superficial. It seeks a decision from people based on some gut response, and it never takes the time to go the step further to see that commitment be followed through with and discipleship taking place in a person's life. And so, yeah, we bring people to an altar, and we want to see them give their lives to Jesus, but then what? It's more than that. That's not the end. That's the beginning of God's work in their lives. And so Paul says, I reasoned and I argued and I invested and I gave all of myself and I was humble, but I also did it with tears. He gave everything he had to seeing people come to Christ and then be discipled up into the faith. It wasn't just emotionalism. It wasn't superficial, making brief encounters and expecting quick results, as our methods tend to be. Between Corinth in Ephesus, Paul gave 5 years of his life. 5 years. When was the last time our efforts of seeing people won to Christ span that type of amount of time? Now, many of us are doing that. It's beautiful. But as a church, can we begin to think of our connecting with the world with an evangelism sort of perspective that has more than just some quick, superficial gut response to a message? It's going to take time. It's going to take investment. It's going to take getting into the mess of people's lives, sacrificing not just some money from our checking accounts, but some of our life, some of our time, our energy. That's what it's going to take to connect in the way that God would have us connect. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, you know this famous verse, I have become all things to all people. I try to find common ground with everyone that I can, doing everything I can just to save some. And so as he's talking to these Ephesian elders, he's saying, I've endured many trials. I've never shrank back from the gospel. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work that God has assigned to me. And so Paul laid it out all on the line. Paul gave everything he had in his service to the Lord. Paul shared all possible truth with all possible people in all possible ways. The whole gospel for the whole region with his whole strength. And I believe that that is what it means to be a connecting people. A people who are filled with the Spirit, laser focused on our mission to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. To be a people that give everything that we have to go out from beyond these four walls, to not think that it's all about what we're doing here, but to take what's going on here out into the world, into the dark, into the dirty, into those low places, those places where the last place in the world anyone else in the world would want to go, but to go there everywhere we can, to share all that God has done in our lives to every person we can come across with every method possible, becoming as creative and unconventional and perhaps even as radical as we need to be, that someone might be saved, that someone might hear the gospel, that someone might come to know Jesus face to face and their lives be transformed forever. So Paul worked day and night, day after day, in every venue he could, in every way he could, to preach as much as he could, to everyone he could, for 3 years. And he said, remember that. Remember my investment. And let that be a model for you. And the result of that is that the whole region was evangelized. Now, they didn't all come to Jesus, but they all heard the name of Jesus. Paul preached until there's no one left to preach to. And so then he could tell the Romans, now I'm ready to come. I've worked myself out of a job here. It's amazing what God can do through a single, yielded, and connected heart to him. And that's the key to it all, isn't it? That heart-to-heart, face-to-face, heart-to-heart connection with God. Samuel Logan Brengel, one of my favorite writers from the history of the Salvation Army, said this: you must have knowledge before you can impart knowledge. You must have fire before you can kindle fire. You must have life to reproduce life. You must know Jesus and be on friendly terms with him to be able to introduce him to others. I want to be a connecting Christian, connecting with God, connecting with you, but connecting with the world. And so as we transition now in our time of worship to that time where we worship through the receiving of the elements during Holy Communion, my prayer is that this would be a time for us to connect with God and connect with each other in deep and meaningful ways, so that when we leave here this morning, we're ready for fire to kindle fire. We're ready to take this personal relationship that we've experienced here with Jesus, that meaningful connection, face-to-face, heart-to-heart with our Lord, and take it with us as we go. Not an ecclesiocentric evangelism, but the kind that Jesus himself modeled for us when he came, which we're going to celebrate here in just a few weeks. The whole gospel to the whole region with our whole strength. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to move outside of our comfort zone, to move out of our preconceived notion of what it is that you would have us to be and do, and listen to you and your voice as your Spirit speaks to our heart in a language that we can understand if we would just take time to listen. So in these moments of worship as we move into this next stage of the service this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would be attuned to your voice, that we could hear what you would have to say to us specifically and individually, but also to us as a church. And help us to know how to respond to what we hear you say. We want to listen, and we want to understand, but Lord, we also want to obey, so that we can be those people who go into all the world with all of the truth of your gospel at work in our lives, giving all that we have in every method and every possible way that we might see some come to know you. Lord, make us a connecting people, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to invite forward now all those who are helping serve communion this morning. Friends, we gather together this morning as the body of Christ. And Jesus is alive and well, and he is here in our midst. And he invites us to come to this meeting place that he has prepared. So let us now bow our heads and close our eyes and take a moment to examine our hearts, to let Jesus show us what we need a touch from him for this morning. Let us now repent of our sins and give thanks to God for his wonderful forgiveness and grace, and resolve here and now to serve him this day and every day to come. Lord Jesus, our desire is to meet with you in this moment. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness and renew a right spirit in us. By your Holy Spirit, may these moments together become more than routine or some empty memorial. May we meet you in this moment, face to face, heart to heart, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Hear now the invitation. All you who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are committed to your neighbors in Christian love and intend to live a life like Jesus by the power of the Spirit, you may come to this table, trusting in Christ alone, and receive these elements in faith. Let us pray. Lord, we come to this, your table, trusting in your righteousness and not our own. As we partake of these elements, which are your body and your blood, cleanse us and fit us for your kingdom, that we may evermore dwell in you and you in us. May our hearts be made one in faith as together we pray as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.